Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Hello, everybody. How is everyone doing today? And it's been a, well, I really didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Before I get into that, welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Why am I getting all phlegmy now? I got rid of it. I'm supposed to have a guest here at the beginning of the show. His name is Chris Stussy. He's up in Savannah, Georgia, and he's one of those ghost hunter guys. I always love having them on, so waiting for Chris. 725. Okay. Well, thank you. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so I rested today pretty much all day, but I think that I'm officially old guy. What up, Lummy's Peg Juice? But, yeah, I've officially become old guy because I tried to sleep. You got to realize, I pretty much grew up in an area where there wasn't a lot of, like, traffic around, not a lot of noise. Now, I've lived in some areas that are pretty busy, but my mom's new place here, it's really, really close to the road. And a lot of old people here, but, man, people are hauling ass down this road. It's almost like they're filming the Fast and the Furious sometimes out on this road. And I know a lot of the older people that live here are not paying attention. They're not paying attention when they're, and I'm telling you, somebody's going to get creamed. Now, does it make me a complete, because I think the road there is like 35 miles per hour, could be 40, who knows. But man, they're doing street bike racing down this road. They're hauling ass. A lot of the it's really, really bad. And I know, but that's got to make me a narc, right? Like, I'm definitely a narc if I call the sheriff's department or the local police department. And I was like, hey, you know, you might want to get out here and look before some snowbird or somebody, some Yankee or some retiree that's lived in Florida all their life gets creamed and gets killed. If I'm just being upfront with you, I really am not worried about people getting hit. It's just, I want a little bit of peace and quiet. I don't need you with your big ass classic Ford truck or Chevy that you thought it would be a great idea to just cut all the pipe, all the exhaust off, just straight coming out of the engine. That's the type of, and they're revving it. You would think right now with as bad as gas prices are that people wouldn't be like hauling ass like that. Like, you'd be pretty easy on the gas and stuff, wouldn't you? Some of the people that just grew up here in Florida, they don't get how gas mileage works. I've been guilty of it as well, too. But, man, people are hauling ass down this road. So I'm using the older people as the front to be able to get what I want. And that's just a little bit of peace and quiet. Do I think the older generation is going to get? Nah. I mean, they've lived a good life, right? If it does happen. But if I need to use, I was reading somewhere where the Russians were using children as human shields. That's what I'm basically taking it the opposite direction, and I'm getting older people, and I'm using them as my human shields to get the peace and quiet that I want. But I don't think it's obtainable. I don't know if well, you know what, though? Guess what? The older generation, they vote. They vote. Guess what is voted on? The sheriffs of all the counties here in the state of Florida. So, yeah, I could get a lot of old people to be able to get this thing done. But, yeah, I got Chris Ducey coming up, 7:25. This story has been burning a hole in my pocket since Friday. You know that I never, ever got to a single news story on the last show. Last Friday, I did not cover one news story. And I was going to end earlier, but that Legion of Dude, like, really stepped up. You guys would be shocked by the amount of new subscribers that I picked up from those guys just wanting to raid my chat room to see if they could get a rise out of me, and they didn't. They didn't get a rise out of me, and it worked out for the best because I actually went on their show right after I got done with mine on Friday. I went on the Legion of Dude. I'm going to get Dr. Till on again, too. Dr. Till is another one that was in there, but he's a part of the Legion of Dude. And I had a lot of fun with them. Hey, Jacob, Kimberly, how are you? But yeah, I, you know, that's what I love about doing this content and stuff. Making new friends, making new connections. What up, Mark? Thanks for joining. Got Mark, Jacob, Lummy's Peg Juice, Joe the Supermark. If you're in right now, hit that thumbs up button. And if you're not subscribed yet, you stumbled across what I'm doing, subscribe and hit that bell button so you're alerted. I'm on various platforms. If you're listening to this on the audio podcast, make sure you subscribe, because if you want to catch what I'm doing live, that's the way that you're going to want to do it. But this story's been burning a hole in my pocket. This is pretty shocking. I mean, we've all heard of these fertility doctors. We've heard that they have used their own sperm to impregnate people. And I got a different take on this because I think a lot of this has to do with the weed that I've smoked. And that's kind of why I want to use mushrooms at least once, just to see if I gain any knowledge or outlook on life. But I have a really, really, like, interesting perspective on this next story.
David Barry spent 37 years thinking he was Italian-Irish until he took a DNA.
I mean, that's a hell of a mixture. You're addicted to carbs and you're an alcoholic.
A test.
There was no Italian. There was no Irish. Any of the things that I was led to believe.
The shock of a lifetime. His dad was not his biological father. David became a DNA detective.
All right. Man, your dad had a lot of hair. This guy must decide to, like, shave it. I don't know. Because a lot of people are going to the bald head now whenever they're losing their hair. The first sign of losing their hair, they're shaving it. You know who I have not seen in the chat room tonight? Actually has me kind of worried. Iggy T. Where is Iggy T? No Iggy T. I mean, she usually says hi. Oh, my God. Hope she's okay.
Unraveling his biological history.
I got this message, and it said, I think we're related.
Discovering he and 36-year-old Morgan Hellquist are half-siblings.
Yeah, you can see the eyes, man, but he looks like a stoner in that. Ugh. Don't forget, if you want to call in, 407-270-3044. Once again, that's 407-270-3044. Actually, had a couple of the guys from the Legion of Dude call in as well, too. Had a lot of fun with them. I'm gonna like get all their contact info again, so I can put it up so you guys can follow them. Because I did raid a couple of rooms with them.
siblings.
I grabbed his face. I just looked at him. I was like, why is your face on my face? Like, I just couldn't understand. That's the craziest experience I've ever had.
But they kept finding more and more half-siblings.
Then there was five of us, and we were all the same age, and six, and then...
Oh, okay. All right. I got to let this story play just a little bit before I can get into my opinion on this. But I don't understand their, like, take on this. I don't understand how there's any standing on this whole thing. And I'll tell you what I mean by that.
And seven, and it started to feel like, well, if there's seven, there might be 20. And if there's 20, there might be 100. And I started to feel terrified.
The half-siblings had more than just DNA in common. David and Morgan say their mothers used artificial insemination.
Uh-oh. Okay, all right. It's just what is, we all know what this guy did, right? He used his own sperm. He didn't get a donor. He used this. Tuttle Mark's in here. What up, Tuttle Mark? But this guy, he impregnated all these women with it. There's another motorcycle just burning rubber right down the road. This mic is really good because I know you didn't even hear it. But, okay, so yeah, all right, this guy, what he did was wrong. Absolutely wrong. But I once again, I have an opinion on this that I think the people that are upset about this guy doing this, they all need to go pound sand.
Using the same fertility doctor in Rochester, New York, Morris Wortman. A biological daughter Wortman raised, agreeing to take a DNA test to try and fill the missing puzzle piece. The result, David says, she matched him, Morgan, and all the siblings.
I am the product of something that should have never happened.
All right. You are the product of something that should have never happened. Thank you, Tuttle Mark. But this is a case of a paradox. And I would use the paradox defense on this, okay? This guy is upset. This guy is upset. The woman is upset. Now, I can see where this woman is going to be upset, especially when you find out what happened to her.
With an unconscionable violation of ethics at a minimum.
Okay, hey, buddy. Paradox defense, once again, I almost went way off of that without even explaining the paradox defense. You are going to be upset, but guess what? If this doctor doesn't do what he did, is it messed up what he did? Yeah, it is. But guess what? You wouldn't be born if the doctor wouldn't have done what he did. So how can you sue? Because you would not exist to be able to sue the doctor. You see what I'm saying? It just, the doctor is the one that put this whole thing into motion. But how can you sue a doctor being your father, but you would have never been born if he wouldn't have done what he did? That's why I believe that people don't realize this. How rare, how much you've won the lottery just by being born. It's like 1 in 14 trillion that you were to be born. And these people are wanting to sue. But the woman, I kind of see.
He's someone I can't escape because his DNA is in me. His DNA is in my son.
Well, okay, you know what? You should be grateful. Be grateful that this guy did what he did, because if he didn't do what he did, you would not be here right now to be upset. And guess what? That son of yours, if its grandfather wouldn't have done what he did, guess what? He would have never been born. Like I said, this guy is a sicko. He lied. He definitely lied, but I don't see how this guy could be mad at the doctor for doing what he did. Because you wouldn't be born, asshole.
I wrestle with that. from the first time I held my son.
Well, you can already see it coming. Once again, there is going to be a big, humongous lawsuit. I don't think this guy or any of the kids can sue their father, the doctor that impregnated their mothers. They should not be able to be, they should not be allowed to sue, because if it wasn't for what the doctor did, these people would not exist. They wouldn't exist, so they wouldn't be able to sue. Yeah, I mean, Mark's right. Mark says, and the guy has pretty good DNA. He's a doctor, got to be kind of smart. I mean, in most cases, Mark, you're absolutely right. But do you guys see my point? I really, like, would love to. Am I just being an idiot? Am I just being an idiot by my opinion on this whole thing? Or do I got solid ground to stand on with my argument here? How can these people sue their father for impregnating the mother? Because if the father wouldn't have done that, they wouldn't be born and they would not be suing. That is a pretty, like, hardcore paradox if I've ever seen one.
That man was in the room with me.
For Morgan, the story takes a darker turn. For the
Oh, guys. This is why I actually picked the story.
Previous decade, Dr. Wortman was also her gynecologist.
Okay. Okay. Did you guys hear that? Her father, that he was not supposed to be the sperm donor of, but he used his sperm to impregnate her mom. She was born, and her father was her gynecologist. Do I think that the guy was purposely wanting to be his daughter's gynecologist? No, this is just a circumstance that, a very uncomfortable circumstance that should have never happened. What up, Fish on Jay? So he was his daughter's gynecologist because he had used his sperm without her mother knowing to make her. So does she have the right to sue at all either? I don't know. I'm kind of torn on this one as well too. Because she, like, once again, she wouldn't be born if he wouldn't have done that. But then that is, okay, so maybe the doctor should have done a better job in making sure. If he was using his sperm to impregnate people without their knowledge, well, they knew that they were getting inseminated, but they didn't know that they were getting inseminated by their own doctor. They thought it was coming from a different donor. I know you almost need, like, to write this down, like, with an image so you could keep up with everything. So he does all that. He probably should have kept up with this where he never accidentally was his daughter's. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they covered that SDK. Because, like, this is, a lot of lawyers need to be looking at this case because there's a lot of case law that could be set just from this story alone.
How did you tell your mother?
When we found out, like, there wasn't any need to tell her. I was screaming and sobbing at the top of my lungs.
Hellquist filing a lawsuit against Wortman in September, alleging, among other things, that he committed medical malpractice by treating her when he likely knew he was her biological father. Wortman.
Okay. I don't know, Chris Coleman. But let's think about this, though. Should he have known? I mean, if you're going to do something like this, you need to. This is the only thing that I think, out of all the crimes he did, that I think that they have a right to sue on. But you know what, though? I mean, if this goes to jury, you have to prove that that he knew. And I don't think you can. Just because he did that other stuff. And you also, if the defense lawyers were smart, they would do whatever they could to keep him doing this, you see what I'm saying, out of the trial. Like, the two crimes should not be able to be talked about because they're both separate things.
His team denying the charges.
In your view, what has he done?
He knew the whole time who he was, and I did.
Oh, man. You know what? I feel really bad for this chick. But, once again, I don't know. And if the doctor didn't know, like, what if he didn't know? What if he didn't know? And the whole time he was like, man, my patient, she's got a nice vagina. It's very, very nice. Come on now. Look, gynecologists, I'm telling you that they look at their patients and they rank their vaginas. I can almost guarantee you. Now, on the downside, yeah, you probably get to see some pretty good looking vaginas, but guess what? You're gonna have to see some really bad ones. I'm talking like on United States soccer player Hope Solo. You ever seen Hope Solo's nudes? Oh, holy crap, Hope Solo! Whew. It's like somebody shot her right with a 12 gauge in between her legs. That's how bad it is. And you know, some of those gynecologists got to see that. But what if he was, like, marking out to his own daughter's vagina and he didn't even know it? I mean, technically, this woman also knew that there could be a chance that her dad might be a gynecologist. Shouldn't it have been up to her as well, too, to make sure, like, you don't know who your dad is? Shouldn't you, a major doctor, do a DNA test just so your father, maybe you, ma'am, have the kink. Maybe you have the kink. You know, I don't believe anything of what I'm saying, but you know, like, some of those attorneys are going to be, ma'am, how do we know that you don't have a kink where you wanted your dad, your gynecologist, to examine your vagina? What up, Eric Fitzpatrick? It's just a, man, this is a really, really weird story.
He took away that choice for me.
Both Morgan and David's mother say Wortman told them he was using sperm from an anonymous medical student. David's mom still reeling from the news.
He had my permission to use a donor, specifically medical student. He did not have my...
Aren't we kind of like splitting hairs here? Did you make it known that medical student? I'm almost guarantee you that your doctor was a medical student at one time, ma'am. Did you specify that it had to be a present medical student? Nope, I did not hear that. That was nowhere in the writing, ma'am.
My permission to use his own sperm for a donation.
It feels like a sexual assault. The problem is it doesn't meet the definitions of sexual assault or battery in a lot of ways. And so there was no criminal violation because there was no law that covered this particular act.
Why I said this story is going to be great for case law.
Seven states specifically penalize physicians for fertility fraud. Others, like New York, only have laws pending. For now, Morgan is the only one of the half...
No, Eric, my internet was just horrible on the Legion of Dude when I came on. I mean, it definitely sounds better. I was just having a bad night. Kind of figured it out. But don't jinx it. I shouldn't even be talking about it. I'm probably just jinxed the hell out of it.
...siblings who may have a legal cause of action.
I do not have a fertility fraud case. I have a case because he touched my body without my consent.
I'm sure you signed some paperwork there somewhere where you did give him consent. And that's why I'm saying that, that this is why a lot of judges, a lot of lawyers need to look at this story. Because there's so much case law that could be set when it comes to this. Because I'm not even a legal professional, and I'm coming up with great deniability on this whole thing. My paradox defense, I think, is perfect. It is. I mean, Mark, I agree. It is a reach, Mark. Mark, I really do agree with you. It is a reach. But isn't that what being a good attorney is about? Stretching, pitting reasonable doubt in people's head. That's all that it makes or takes to make a good lawyer.
Morgan says, despite the pain, there is a silver lining.
David and my siblings are, it's not even bittersweet. It's that they're the shining glue that holds me together during all of this.
Mm. I mean, your dad, I mean, he had some glue. I mean, that's kind of proven, right? I'd like to hear from you. 407-270-3044. Waiting on my guess, Chris Stussy. Supposed to be on at 7:25. It's 7:26 right now. And I'm not going to sit here and wait for him for a really long time. So, Chris Stussy, you're on the clock. I'm giving you until 7:29. 407-270-3044. Like I said, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And while I've been doing the show alone, I need to put a camera out there. I thought it was Stussy. That's what I'm. What am I saying wrong? I thought I said Chris Stussy. Waiting on Chris Stussy. I can see a Dan Newman and Newland billboard coming up. I could see that. So, yeah, Chris Stussy, you got about a minute, 45 seconds. Waza, Will Cogley. What up, Will Cogley? And I'm telling you right now, if Chris, anybody that stands me up or, like, does that during the live show, you're gone. I don't want you. I don't need you. So, Chris, you got about a minute, 15 seconds. See if you get on here. Because if you don't, I am moving along. I'm getting out of here. And I don't really, really want you on the show. If you can't be, I mean, you got about 10 minutes or 50 minutes now. So anyways, Legion of Dude, what, you think that people are just burnt out with all the stupid cannabis laws? Yeah, I do. I mean, I do too. It is. I mean, punctuality is half the battle. But I got plenty of things. Like I said, there was a lot of stuff I didn't even get into on Friday because it was such a great show. Just sitting here, bullshitting, having a good time with all of us. This is what I like. And then I'm going to move on to this. This guy, I wish I could have found a longer story on it. But this guy, this next guy, yeah, we're done. Hey, the honeymoon is over. I love your show. Thank you, Kevin Edmondson. The honeymoon is over. I love your show. Well, thank you, Kevin Edmondson. I mean, that does mean a lot. Got Twisted Movies. Twisted Movie says, greetings all. And Eric Fitzpatrick. Definitely says punctuality is half the battle. So you know, when a lot of people don't believe me when I say this, because we've interviewed quite a few people on a lot of the radio shows that I've been on. Matter of fact, you know, I forget the name of the guy. You know, the Monsters in the Morning? Well, I think they were the Monsters of the Midday at the time. Matter of fact, they could have even been on at night at the time. There was an inmate that I guess was a pedophile. What up, Big Dick Rich is in. Says, what up, Tuds? You know what we're doing, Rich? Smoking big old dicks. the Monsters in the Morning, they got into a little bit of trouble. And this is actually before I even, like, was on their show. But there was this inmate that got into trouble for killing or doing some horrible, unimaginable crime to a minor. And I think Dirty Jim, now Jim Colbert, host of the Jim Colbert Show, 3 to 7, Real Radio 104.1, Monday through Friday. Maybe it said something, and the guy ended up getting beat. I think he got killed, too. They killed him. And I've always known, like, that there is a hierarchy. Because there are some criminals and stuff in jail that doesn't like it when you do things to women, children, or animals. And this guy, he ended up murdering, I think his, he killed his, like, fiance or girlfriend's 2-year-old kid. Well, you know, prison justice caught up to him as well, too.
Morning, an inmate at Bertie Correctional Institution in Windsor is dead after authorities say a group of inmates attacked him.
Yeah. I mean, somebody got Jeffrey Dahmer that way, didn't they? Wasn't Dahmer, like, just chilling and trying to be the perfect inmate? And then some guy just beat the absolute piss out of him with a broomstick. And I hope that there was something that they maybe did to him. Willie, you know what? I'll get to my views on the death penalty once I get through this story. But, yeah, I really don't feel bad for this guy. I do not feel bad for him one bit at all.
According to the State Department of Public Safety, Samaj Short was...
Samaj. Yeah, Samaj. That long hair, probably not doing you any good when you get into prison, because you know that's the first thing they're grabbing. Matter of fact, they probably choked him out with his own, like, that's how they probably killed him. They wrapped his dreadlocks around his neck and was like, yep, we're done with this.
He was assaulted in a housing area at the prison yesterday afternoon. Prison first responders tried to save his life until paramedics got there.
All right, so if you're a first responder, this is going to be a serious question. And we might have some first responders that are in the chat room. But if I'm a first responder and I had any idea that this guy committed a crime, killed a 2-year-old, 3-year-old toddler. Yeah, I'm not working as fast either. I'm not. I'm like, oh, I forgot it. It's back in the ambulance. Let me get over there. I'll run over there and get it real quick and take your time. Matter of fact, peruse TikTok a little bit before you get what you really even need.
Short died before he could get to the hospital. 3 other inmates were hurt in the incident but are expected to survive. Now, Short was convicted of second-degree murder in Halifax County in 2017. He was projected to be released in 2042. Morning.
So, anyways, he did. I know they didn't mention it in the story, but he did kill a toddler. And now... Now, Will Cogley, you know what? I'm going to shock you here, okay? I used to believe, like, definitely in the death penalty, but you know what? My 11 days in the mental institution where I could not go anywhere, Will, it was almost solitary confinement. But he maybe I don't know. But Willie Coughley, I noticed it was absolute torture being in that very small area, not having a lot of stimulation and stuff. And it was absolute torture. Now, could you imagine, like, if you had to do that and you knew that there was no end in sight? There was no end in sight. Myself, what I'm telling you from my experience, if I had a choice, an honest choice, if I either had to face the death penalty or life in prison with no chance of getting out, almost like solitary confinement, I would choose death. I would choose death over that, because your life is over with. You have absolutely no freedoms at all. When you're dead, you're dead. No, Will, I completely agree with you on this, Willie, but my idea is, instead of having to take care of them and stuff, you know that the United States of America has an island somewhere where we put the worst of the worst criminals out there. Put them on the island. I know that this has been done in movies and stuff, but it would work. Put them on an island. Let them be able to take care of themselves. Do whatever. But once we're on that island, do you know that there's some prisons in South America that they don't have any guards? You know what they got? They got snipers outside the prison. And when you go and you try to go after them, yeah, they get you. Australia. Now, I know, look, I do not look down. I support people that support the death penalty, because guess what? I've never, ever had a family member murdered before. Matter of fact, I've got friends that were brutally, not friends that were brutally murdered, but friends having family members brutally murdered. And this is back when I was in high school. I went to high school in the 90s. You know what? Here. Oh, man, dude. We were supposed to be on at like 7:25, weren't we?
I was over at a Zoom link that the Vulture Place had sent me. So I was just waiting on Zoom.
It
wasn't until I like doubled back and was like, why? Because it was like, this seems odd. And so when I doubled back, I saw that you were a StreamYard. I was like, you know, that's what happened is Vulture sent me to Zoom.
All right. Well, I'll get to the bottom of it. Don't worry about it. Chris, how are you, buddy? How are things up in Savannah?
Savannah's great. You know, we had a very mild winter and it's turning into a relatively mild spring.
I know you do a lot of, people in the chat room, somebody saying, is it Lady McGee, calling in? Somebody called you Lady McGee, but
I
not,
can take that.
Okay. But, Chris, I was talking about this. All right. So you do a lot of ghost hunting stuff up in Savannah. I know that, right? Like I got married up in Savannah, Georgia as well too. So, the ghost of my past marriage is somewhere there in Mercer Square, in Savannah, Georgia. But I was talking about this. There was this guy that he killed a kid, and he got killed himself in prison. You know, prison justice got him because of what he had done. Up there hunting, you ever ran into any pedophile ghost or, like, horrible ghosts? Like are there any legends of, like, really bad, criminally insane ghost that could be roaming Savannah, Georgia?
So as far as like terrible people ghosts, there actually aren't any like famous ones. I'm sure that the general consensus is that people don't, and Savannah's very much about, you know, putting on a good face. So when they tell their ghost stories, it's always the kind of soft and gentle ghost stories.
Oh,
that
no.
You hear.
It's
true. but that being said, this is a place of just utter debauchery and full of characters and strangeness. You know, I'm actually due to do a ghost hunt out in Rincon, which is just outside of Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were doing our investigation, we found out that the creek that runs like on this land, this person's land, was used to wholesale drown men, women, and children, slaves.
Oh, so they were like, you know, like everybody makes those jokes back in the day, you know, like you put a litter of puppies or kittens in a bag and you just, because you just got to kill so many people, it's just easier to drown them than shoot them.
It was a weird contrivance because basically what was happening was the Union Army had secretly built a bridge to get all these slaves out. So all these slaves were actually being chased by like Confederates and they were going to the site of the bridge, but some Confederates had come around and actually dismantled the bridge. So the slaves were just driven into the river.
And
reports say 600, some reports say 1,000, over 1,000.
Was this a deep creek or whatever? Somebody asked here before you get in that, do you have a YouTube channel of ghost hunting? Please post in the chat if you do. Like, I do have the stuff, and I will send it to you, Eric, or I'll post it in the chat room after we're done. But so Savannah, obviously part of the South, the Confederate. So there's going to be a lot of, we're talking ghosts, a lot of Confederate related ghosts or spirits that you could find there because it was a very dark time in our country's history.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And some people would argue that is what makes a ghost more likely to appear is the more horrible the situation, the more emotional the content of their life and their suffering, the more likely they are to stick around just to, you know, further the haunting situation.
Have you guys ever like been able to get access to a original plantation that you guys have gone to or done any of that stuff or
so
seen any
actually,
of those?
When I was in high school, we broke into a plantation just north of Savannah. And it was pretty much in ruins, you know, it was out, you had to go out down a long dirt road. And this place was just so uncomfortable to be in because, and maybe it was context understanding, knowing where you were going and knowing what was happening. But when we arrived there, it was just this big, massive house with this big, it was weird. The slaves' quarters at this particular location were set up kind of like old army barracks, you know, just a long, almost like a trailer looking structure.
Kind of like a row house, kind of like row houses.
Like a row house, but it was a big open bay, mm-hmm. you know, they weren't separated like into individual like stalls or anything. And the access point being that the walls were deteriorating, so you could just kind of walk through the wall like a ghost, and there you were standing in a place where you knew that not only were these people suffering, but they were aware of their suffering, their daily suffering, their daily, you know, condition and position. And you marvel at how any human could be so cruel and so short-sighted as to think that you can treat another human being like this without there being any kind of, you know, karmic repercussion. And unfortunately, it seems like there wasn't a whole lot of karmic repercussion. There was hundreds of years of this kind of behavior going on. And there are people probably unscathed in, you know, in life from owning slaves or being, you know, just horrible, horrible human examples.
You've gone, you've probably had experience in the slave quarters and stuff, but do you ever run into like Confederate type ghosts in some of these plantations or the horrible type people that were there? Because usually we think when ghosts, it's stuff that they were done to them or how horribly they died. But could you also become a spirit for what you did in your living life as well too, even though you thought it was good, but you lived the good life, but you did horrible things?
So it's interesting because the general consensus as far as that's concerned is a lot of it is based on the suffering that you encounter, the emotional content of your existence and the nature of your death. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of these cases, these people ruled with an iron fist. They did not feel discomfort. And therefore it's very rare that you see one of these, you know, jerks haunting a place because they were satisfied in their life. And usually a haunting oftentimes is connected to being deeply dissatisfied. If you're dissatisfied in your life, then the idea of sticking around to get satisfaction makes sense. But if you were, you know, a monster who, you know, fed off of people and beat them and never felt discomfort yourself, it seems like your ability to stick around is lessened. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't happen, but most ghost stories seem to be about victims than they are about killers. You know, then the flip side of the, you know, the horror movie trope is you always see, like, you know, why did Freddy Krueger get to come back? What, he was
a bad guy. Yeah.
Human being. He shouldn't be given another chance to be horrible and terrible. That being said, there is a lot of hauntings that are related to specific and evil acts and specific and evil things. That's why, I guess, you know, there's a place in town now. It's called Graveface Records, and they have like a little museum where they have collected and curated serial killers' belongings. You know, they have the belongings of serial killers, and while you rarely hear in ghost parlance, like ghost hunters talk about, this is the ghost of the serial killer, you oftentimes hear about this is the ghost of
somebody they killed,
a victim. But having their items and having their belongings and just sort of,
can part of the spirit be left on those items? So, like, you hear about things like, can an item that maybe they owned, or, you know, like, if you're keeping things of serial killers, I mean, is some of their, like, mojo or voodoo or hoodoo a part of that? Can a spirit, like, catch a ride? I don't know.
Well, that's where we start to really delve into what is a ghost in the first place, and that comes into play with how much are we responsible for the container of the spirit? Meaning, if we are obsessing over a serial killer,
you give them
and
power.
There is a spirit attached, how are we might be influencing the spirit to present as the serial killer in order to gain recognition, in order to, you know, and this is my own personal theory about it, which is spirits need attention. They need energy. They need connection to feel alive. That's the bottom line, whole purpose of any spirit to stick around is to have that other chance at life, another chance at being alive. And when a human interacts with it, that spirit feels nourished. It's nourished by our attention. And if our attention is, there's a serial killer here, it will do whatever it has to do to, you know, emulate the sensation that you're looking for. So there is a danger to feeding ghosts.
Okay.
You know, do not feed the ghosts.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I really, really do. Now, on the line with me right now is Chris Stussy. Chris, once again, before I get in my next question, tell my audience where they can find any of your content.
So, oddly enough, I am in the midst of configuring content. I ran theaters for a long time. So I have an improv theater company, and I have a Shakespeare theater company. And we were, you know, working. And then, of course, when the pandemic hit, it was just like, oh, I don't ghost hunt for notoriety, for fame, for, you
know. It's a hobby. You like doing it. It's something you like getting out there and doing.
Closer to an obsession than a hobby. It's it's almost a nervous tick. I get very antsy if somebody says this place is haunted, and I don't spend a little time trying to figure it out, try to, you know, sit in it and be a part of whatever's people think is going on.
Did you wear a mask? Why? Because Fish on Jay says ghosts must wear a mask before coming to me. Did you wear a mask when you were out ghost hunting? I mean, can spirits pass the coronavirus?
The most of the ghost hunting that I've done in the last 2 years have been outdoors, and you social distance with ghosts. They're on a totally different dimension and plane. So generally speaking, you don't need to worry that much about masking up. But, you know, some ghosts will wear a whole sheet over their body. So that,
okay. But I mean, being in Savannah, Georgia, do you got to be careful that you don't confuse a ghost wearing a sheet with a modern day Ku Klux Klan? I'm just asking.
Fascinatingly enough, Savannah has a...
I think it's more progressive.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It has a, has like a shell around it. Mm-hmm. And has for a long time. There's actually a great story about the city standing up against the Klan in the, like, 50s, I think it was. There was, like, a purported Klan rally kind of, I don't know, membership drive. And the city kind of stood up and said, no, we don't want that here. And technically, the city has always been kind of a, we don't want that here. It's like, no, let's not worry about that. Mm-hmm. Even it's even hard to get the city to admit that there were slaves in Savannah.
Yeah.
Because they're really quick to be like, oh, we let the slaves go before, you know, emancipation. Like, oh, you know, these are servants' quarters. They're not slaves' quarters and things like that. Of course, they were an instrumental part of the slave trade. But again, they love keeping their face. The history has been kind of cleaned away, but I think they have a good foresight of, well, that's going to be trouble. People are not going to enjoy this.
Yeah, Willie Cogley said, racist ghost. That sounds like a movie.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm surprised that there isn't more stories about racist ghosts.
Yeah.
Because you take, you know, the Confederate dead or you know, the plantation owner, and then you have, you know, a black, Asian, you know, anything not white move into the house of an old dying.
Oh, old, like that would be racist. Like a good Jordan Peele movie. Like, you know,
great Jordan Peele movie. I'm surprised that that isn't something on his, you know, registry, which is, you know, somebody deciding to revamp a plantation into a hip hotel or something. And then, you know, the mayhem that ensues.
I mean, Dr. Till, I'll word this a little differently. He said, did the racist ghost ever touch your no-no square? Did a racist ghost or a ghost ever do anything to you that makes you want to go out and hunt them?
It's odd. The very first ghost story I have was when I was 6 years old. I snuck into an old abandoned house in Hamburg, Germany. And I had
you Jewish ghosts, right? And then
as it turned out, I had no idea what was happening, but I had horrible nightmares for years and years after the event, and it was finally explained to me by someone who knew the house that a Jewish family were murdered in the house.
Oh, by, Jesus!
You know, fighting off, and it was actually worse than that, because the full story was, the father of the family killed his children and his wife to keep the Nazis from taking
them. Oh yeah. So it was kind of like a mercy kill. It was kind of like,
because they had apparently hidden there for a long time, and then they were sold out. Somebody in the city sold them out, and the Nazis came. And when they stormed in, the father just turned to the kids and killed them so they wouldn't have to endure any torment or torture.
Willie Cogley asked it, was it Anne Frank?
No.
Okay. All right. I was just asking. I mean, Willie. I mean, I didn't come up with that question. Look, Willie even sent it right there.
I'm saying yes. It sounds like Anne Frank's situation, but I think Anne Frank's in Amsterdam.
Yeah. Tom Delaney just super chatted $1.99. And then somebody writes, I don't know, ask him if he's been to Zach Bagans Museum and if how fake that cool tool is. But the museum is great. Well, what does he mean by that?
I actually met Zach Bagans when he came to town. Like his first season, he went to the Moon River Brewing Company. And he is his approach is something that I don't agree with necessarily. His approach is to antagonize ghosts. And is to be very forceful with them and insulting and push them. At least that was, you know, at the time. And I disagreed with it. I was like, you know, it seems like the kind of energy you put out is always the kind of energy you get back. And so my theory on Zach Bagans and ghost hunters of that ilk is that I think people are more likely to be haunted than places. And I think people bring with them ghosts wherever they go, some ghost attached to them. And the clearest indication to me is whenever a ghost knows the person's name. And that seems to happen a lot on that show. Mm-hmm. Is they'll be playing their little, you know, EVPs and voice phenomenon things and Zach. And it's like, oh, I heard that. Mm-hmm. Ghosts, in my estimation, don't have a lot of learning curve They're not going to learn.
So they're kind of dumb. Okay, I got you.
Well, they don't have a brain.
Yeah.
there's no brain there. There's so they're just... There's nothing to store or process information. So they are what they are. Mm. And to imagine them growing and learning seems like a stretch. But if the spirit knew Zach before, if there was a connection or connective thing, then that makes sense. And I have been to Zach's museum, which is a wonderfully bizarre giant house in Las Vegas, and it's cool because the items that he's collected and curated are tied to some of the biggest stories that we understand and know about ghosts. But at the same time, it is a very
I love how, like, you got, like, I mean, this guy must have asked a great question, because you just filibustered the show there, getting all excited and stuff. But now let me ask you, though, is there anything you can bring? Because, look, I'm a big fan of the TV show Supernatural. They did a lot of ghost hunting. Do iron bars or salt protect you at all against ghosts? Or are there any materials or anything that you can do if you're out ghost hunting to be able to protect yourself?
So iron is well established in most folklore and most beliefs to be a deterrent to spirits and spirit. The whole spirit concept believes that iron is a very solid way to dissuade ghosts from bothering you. And in fact, it even played into a lot of beliefs around why young women were so often plagued with ghosts, was the concept that they had low blood iron.
Oh,
because
yeah.
of menstruation.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and is, whether it's correct or not, it is well-established belief that iron plays a role in that. And salt as well. Salt is fascinating because some people believe that the whole purpose salt became so so much a part of that was because of its high value. Because it had a high monetary value at a long time. So salt was like silver, really. You know, it had this construct and concept of being valuable, worthy. And so if you can put salt down on the ground, you're basically demonstrating your willingness to sacrifice something
to ward away
other things. And, you know, I have the weirdest thing is I use a coconut to,
okay.
A coconut in the shell, a whole coconut, because I was told once by a voodoo priest and once by a Catholic priest, totally separate instances, totally separate conversations, that coconut ward off evil spirits. And it was like, I don't know how that is. I don't know why that is. I don't know if these were just two separate crackpots who were telling me this, but
I'm sure Catholic priests use coconut oil for certain things, but sure. Not scaring off ghosts, if you know what I'm saying. But
well, I mean, I would be scared if I was a ghost.
Yeah. But Chris, so, all right, those things work out. Now, so iron, salt, now, do you believe in any other supernatural, like, beings or anything like that? Because, you know, like, you got some people that are pro Bigfoot, then you got some people who are pro chupacabra, some people are, like, pro vampire or anything like that. Or do you look at those people, like, how they probably look at you? They're like, oh, look at Ghost Man over there. Isn't he cute?
I find that I don't have the luxury to look down on people for their beliefs. I just don't spend any time cracking people for what they believe in. And I'm pretty open to the idea that any of it's real simply because I live the life I live. You know, if I'm willing to extend this, you know, because I am fully aware and fully acknowledging that none of this is concrete. None of this, nobody actually knows what it is.
So are you a religious man then? You're talking about faith then. Are you a religious man?
I am talking about faith, absolutely. And I believe that the structure of faith is about defining the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a bunch of people to have the same faith, then they are living in the same world. And so it becomes a question of is your faith strong enough? Is your will strong enough to change the reality that other people are living in? And it seems like we've seen that happen time and time again, where people challenge the reality that people are living in by the sheer force of their faith, by the sheer force of what they believe in.
Can I, okay, have you heard anything? The big thing on social media now is people posting proof of skinwalkers. Have you heard anything of skinwalkers and stuff?
Yes, actually, when I was in Kansas, I actually met a group. And this is the first time I ever heard this. This was like in the early 90s. And they were like, hey, the skinwalkers. And it was this very peculiar thing. But I think we're always, like, if you looked at the skinwalker mythology and mythos and legends, you will find similar things throughout the world, because it involves a very specific type of fear, which is being fooled mm-hmm. by, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing kind of situation. You find that people all over the world are worried about the other thing. And so a skinwalker, a creature who could shed its skin to look like something else, a creature who could disguise itself as other things, you know, all these entities, those are classic. And it's weird. They're classic fairy tale characters as well.
Somebody asked, are skinwalkers just lizard people? Because everybody's talked about the lizard people as well, too, on these TV spots. And they blink their eyes and then they're like, oh, that motherfucker's got lizard eyes. And then, but I'm always like, oh, that's just like lens flare or something like that.
Yeah, and technically the separation of lizard people versus skinwalkers is sophistication. Lizard people apparently are either ancient aliens or first creatures cognitively on this planet, and they are disguising themselves and operating in a vast conspiracy to control everything, which is a harder thing to believe in, certainly. Mm-hmm. But I think that it is, again, this sensation and fear that something dishonest is happening, something that is hidden from us, and the thing that is hidden from us is dangerous and will harm us.
Yeah, Atomic Shaman Sweat Lodge says, I'd miss any skinwalker sightings outside of Navajo territory. Now, is skinwalker thing, is that related to the Indian culture? Or?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes. It is.
And as a matter of fact, it is. And it's a very localized belief, and then it just turned into the roaming stories. It just turned into this wide, you know, breadth of storytelling. But each culture has these things, and they'll adopt, they'll take it. They'll say, you know, because a lot of people will try to assume that a skinwalker is the same thing as a werewolf. And in fact, a lot of werewolf stories got promoted into skinwalker because of the, you know, because it became a hot mm-hmm. button phrase or turn of phrase. But it is, you know, every culture and every subculture holds their
mythology. Is it wrong to call it mythology?
Well, you know, it's weird because mythology almost denotes
that we know that it's fake, but we call it, you know,
kind of. Whereas I think that there are things that happen by observation of a culture that need to be recognized as the observation of that culture. Because here in Savannah, we have the Boo Hag.
Yeah.
And the Boo Hag has many of the qualities.
Whoa, what is a Boo Hag? I got to hear, what is a Boo Hag? Now,
a Boo Hag is a spirit that can assume a form, sometimes a form of a person you know.
Wait, a solid form? Could I hug this Boo Hog?
Yes, like, yes. The classic Boo Hag story is the Boo Hag poses as a loved one and comes to bed with you and lives with you, but at night sheds her skin and leaves it in a pile and then marauds around as this demon.
The Boo Hog.
And while you're sleeping, it perches on your chest and drinks your life force.
Oh, so it's kind of almost like a succubus almost. It's kind of like
succubus. Succubus is a very close one, but it's from the Gullah and Geechee, which it also came from African tradition. And so there's a lot of mixture in there that came about it, but there's a lot of people in this region who the Boo Hag is their boogeyman. You know, it's the thing coming to get you.
you know, what was there? I mean, Krampus is always a bad one as well, too, because, you know, he's like a pedophile demon that will carry around like kids and stuff. Before we get Eric Fitzpatrick, I've heard of the New Jersey Devil, but he says, do you believe in the dog man of New Jersey? And he says it's not a werewolf because it's a dog all the time.
Yes, the dog man of New Jersey, and in Louisiana, they're called Rugaroo.
Yes. Yeah,
and
you are very, I got to tell you, are these plants in here? Because everybody's like asking these questions, and I'm like, oh, there's no way he's going to know about the dog man. And then you're like, yeah, I know the dog man.
Well, yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating because I think what you're really dealing with is people experiencing something that they cannot completely explain and then ascribing something to it, because I think there's just going to be things that we don't understand and we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember I used to be an anti-Bigfoot guy. I used to be like, you know, we would know if there was a Bigfoot, you know, by now, the way the world is going, we would know. And then I learned that there are like hundreds of planes missing in the
Northwest,
in the forests of the West. Mm-hmm. Planes, like 747, big gigantic. There's an A-10 Warthog full of munitions somewhere between Arizona and Washington State. And it's like, that's a huge, gigantic thing. This is tons and tons of shiny metal, and you're telling me you cannot find it. It crashed somewhere, and you just know it's there, but you cannot find it.
Are the Bigfoots collecting this?
I don't know, but I mean, that's a great theory and another good movie, you know, Bigfoot Scrap Shop. I'm just at that place where I'm like, well, you know, if a giant plane can disappear in people's eyes, then I think a, you know, 7 foot tall hairy thing might be able to hide. And then I read that giant panda bears, were for a long time in China considered to be Bigfoot-like creatures, the skull-faced ghosts of the woods. And so people just assumed that there was this skull-faced monster in the woods, and then they learned that it was a panda bear. And that was like in the 1900s. That was like in the early 1900s that they discovered that the ghost of the woods was actually this big, cuddly, you know, panda bear.
What about swamp ape? Have you ever heard of swamp ape?
Of course.
You know, the cousin of
the skunk ape.
Yeah, the skunk ape. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting to me. When I was really young, my father was stationed at Fort Stewart, Georgia, and I used to drive to Savannah on Highway 17, and there was this. It was like a zoo, but it was only primates. It was only circus and other like dejected animals, but they were like gorillas and stuff. When they closed that place down, mm-hmm. Many people had sightings of monkeys and gorillas all through this area. So I'm imagining that if you take a Tiger King like scenario, and a because it seems to me the pictures of a skunk ape that I've ever seen all look like orangutans to me.
Yeah, my dad
they have a very orangutan feature to them.
Yeah, I mean, we had a monkey island in De Leon Springs where I grew up. Yeah, a lot of
we have a monkey island right off the coast of Savannah.
Yeah, I mean, we used to take all these and just like put them on these islands and stuff, and then they realized, oh, this isn't good because we're catching herpes from these monkeys as well too. No, I'm being dead serious.
I believe it. I mean, because it's interesting, the monkey island here, and I used to tell this story all the time, and somebody was like, put your money where your mouth is. We're getting on a boat. We're going out to Monkey mm-hmm. Island. It's a chemical testing facility it's some kind of medical testing.
This is going to be like Planet of the Apes type stuff.
All the monkeys were moved from like South America to this island. And so our story was that they are diseased monkeys that live on an island that overrun the island, and the company had to abandon the island because the monkeys were so. We go out there. It turns out it's a working facility. You know, the facility is still there.
They had monkeys there too, didn't they?
There are scientists still working there, and there are monkeys that if you come up to the island, you can see them all in the tree line.
Wow. Chris, a lot of people said they really enjoyed this interview. Twisted Movie says this is a fantastic interview. So I really do want to thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Sorry about any of the confusion and stuff. And
it's
okay. No, don't worry about it. But Chris, one more time before you go, tell people how they can check you out on social media and stuff.
So you can find me anywhere you can find the name Chris Soucy, Chris Soucy. That's pretty much me. I'm doing a lot of things. I am trying to put together a ghost podcast and a ghost hunting thing. Like I said, ghost hunting had always been more for a personal reason than it was for a public one. So so I'm now of the stage where it's like, well, I guess I could mix it into my public persona, who I am.
I say a reoccurring. You know how they do. You said you were doing a lot of Broadway and or not Broadway, but like stage stuff, yes. Theater stuff. That you know, like, what if you did a weekly? Like, has anybody ever tried to do a stage show that is not reoccurring? It's not the same thing over and over, but it's a continuing like serial TV show where like.
So for 2 years, I actually told ghost stories in the old Savannah Theater.
Okay.
And for 2 years around midnight, I'd go there. People paid tickets to sit down, and then I just tell them a wide swath of stories that I've experienced and know. And that was very rewarding because it was a great way to kind of, you know, broach the subject, talk about something that I really love talking about, and then, you know, be clean for the next day.
No, I just think it would be cool, like, if you did like a supernatural type show where it, like, you were writing about, oh, you know, because you seem to know so much about the supernatural type stuff that it would be cool to, you know, see, like, or even if you did a new episode a month, you know, because you'd want everybody to see it, like, you know, do one episode a month and that's your reoccurring, then you move on to the next storyline and give people a whole month. I don't know. I just think it would be pretty cool mixing them together. Absolutely. And stuff. All right. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate it. Need to get you on again. And
yeah. Well, what I'll do is I'll make a bunch of content places to go, and then I'll come back and peddle my wares.
All right, man. Well, I hope you have a wonderful night, and I hope all is well in Savannah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Bye. All right, guys. I want to thank everybody that checked out the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Iggy T, man. Iggy, I talked about you at the beginning of the show. I talked to you. Dubai. Okay. I don't know if I can say this. I think I can just put them up there, but see, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm kind of like baby facing. I'm pandering to the Legion of Dude. They love to raid rooms. So, I mean, just raid my room. I'll put up your comments and stuff. I mean, some of them I don't want to say, but I'm not going to do that. But Iggy T, I was like, man, this is not good. We started out the show and no Iggy T. So anyways, guys, hopefully you enjoyed tonight's show. Want to thank the Legion of Dude for joining me. Dr. Till was in there. All the new people from that group, I love you. And all the people that have been there from the beginning, I love you even more. Going to get out of here. Hopefully you enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.